Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well.
We know them as the Beastie Boys. All right, so their real names are Adam Horovitz, Adam Yauch, and Michael Diamond. Yauch died of cancer in 2012. And the two surviving members, Horovitz and Diamond, have now published a collective memoir simply called Beastie Boys Book. They spoke to Rachel Martin about it.
It's interesting to read about how the Beastie Boys came to know each other when they were teenagers and find their sound. But honestly, what drew me to this book was the idea of these guys, now men in their 50s, reflecting back on their life. And I really had one main question. Had the Beastie Boys actually grown up? And as you will hear in the following exchange, the answer is sort of. Here's Adam Horovitz reading an excerpt from the book about the lost art of mixtapes.
I'm not trying to be all, well, back in my day, we had to carry blocks of ice up a mountain made of shards of broken glass just to get a drink of a hat full of rain. But it's true that the physical relationship to music was different. There was more touching, holding, caressing, and finessing. Thanks, Mike.
Well, I never...
I'm still reading. Wait,
oh,
where am
my
I,
God. Like,
where am
very,
I reading?
That was a very sort of...
Wait, am I still...
description of cassettes.
Mike, you're just going to have to trust me when I tell you that the two of them interrupted each other throughout our conversation with inside jokes. And by this point, I had earned that shift. But that was their allure, right? In the early 1980s, the Beastie Boys were breaking all the rules. There were these punk teenagers running around Manhattan, going to clubs they shouldn't have been in, making music that wasn't supposed to be for them. Rap was black music, it was underground music, it wasn't something that, like, teenage white guys did. So, why? What made you think that people would take you seriously?
Well, people taking us seriously wasn't something that was really a consideration for us.
You didn't care.
The second we heard rap music, it wasn't like anything else that we'd heard before. So that was like, that's what we wanted to do. And probably like so many other teenagers at the time, whatever rap 12-inch would come out, we would put on and just play over and over and over and memorize every single word. Then you just feel like, oh, I can rap now because I know every word to Jimmy Spicer's Super Rhymes. And I actually have to give our environment and our parents props in the weird way of that was this New York City thing of you can do whatever you want to do. You didn't have this thing of, oh, you can't do that because you're this.
Right.
That was definitely the atmosphere.
Things take off in, like, a really big way. And all of a sudden, you're touring with Madonna, you're all over the place, you've got your own shows, you've got girls in cages, you got all kinds of things happening.
You gotta fight for your right to play.
When you look back at some of the videos or just the performances, is there any bit of you that cringes?
It used to be all of the bit of me that cringed. And now there's definitely a bit of me that cringes. It's yep. Very cringy.
Girls! All I really want is girls!
Well, I think a lot of what we did for a period of time was definitely cringe-worthy. First, we started sort of making fun of something. Before you sort of know it, you're like, oh, I'm this guy who's enjoying doing this thing.
Girls! Do the dishes! Girls!
Time goes by and you're like, wait, I didn't sign up to really be this person, and now that's sort of my job to be that person, and How do I change that up now?
Right, because it also made you real famous.
Well, it made us famous, and it also, I think we're super, super fortunate and grateful the fact that we got to sort of grow.
In 1994, there was a song, Sure Shot, where Adam Yauch essentially apologizes to women.
Yeah.
Was that earnest, or was that ironic, or what was that about?
No, I think he's very earnest when he says disrespect to women has got to be true. And I actually think it's better than an apology, because it's more like, this is where we're at. And this is what we're saying.
How much of it was about Adam, Yauch?
I think a lot of it was about Yauch because he had this vision for things, but it was really about for all of us, that we all felt this freedom that we're going to make what we want to make. You know, everything gets so big and so chaotic and so beyond our control. But out of all that, we realized, wait, it's just the three of us. We need to figure this out and not listen to anybody else. And that somehow served us incredibly well.
Whether it was apologizing for disrespecting women or focusing on life outside the band, Adam Yauch was the guy pushing the other two in new directions.
He just did the thing that you weren't supposed to do. You know, he was the Buddhist Free Tibet guy that you'd see him at the after party for some fashion thing.
And be completely comfortable in his own skin, and everything made sense with him, and everything in between the extremes made sense.
But he was also the, if you were like, oh man, a radiator broke in my apartment, he would be like, oh, I'll fix it, and then he would just fix it.
Very good point. He actually has installed not one, but two water filtration systems for me in my home. So that's the truth.
Well, Adam was a licensed installer.
It's the truth. Really?
It's the truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what our conversation is like. Between the constant ribbing and inside jokes, there are sincere moments of reflection. They talk about their music, their friendship, and the guy who taught them to fix radiators, to care about human rights, to own up to mistakes, to grow up.
My friend is somebody that I loved so much and was such a huge influence on me. I miss him dearly and daily. You know, it's a nice thing. I have this little lens. Like, okay, what would Yauch say?
That's Michael Diamond and Adam Horovitz of the Beastie Boys. Their new book is called Beastie Boys Book.